you know, it's great to have him here. Al, welcome.
Hi.
And thank you so much for what you're doing for all these kids around the area.
Very kind. You're very welcome.
Very nice.
Do you do a lot of this stuff, a lot of working with the kids and these kind of fundraisers and stuff like that?
Well, we try to. I mean, you know, we get a lot of the former NFL players and trying to be an impact in the community and just showing them the importance of this because I think it, first of all, I love the youth football, and long as it's coached right and taught right and, you know, from the elementary area. But I really think it's a great way to teach life lessons. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is teamwork, sacrifice, taking instruction, you know, dealing with adversity, a lot of things that you would be functional in life. You do it in a game. And when I used to coach youth football, I coached my son. And my son's, you know, he's playing college football now. But I coached those guys. And my whole plan was when I did youth football was that I wanted to raise young men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to teach these young boys how to be men through a fun way, you know, to use athletics in a way that you can teach them those life lessons. So
that is so cool. You look like you could play right now. Man,
oh,
I got to be honest. This guy came in, and I'm telling you what, it was like rock out. He just rocked through it. I tell you what, take me back. You were out of Arizona State, first round pick, ninth overall, and you're going to Chicago. That had to be culture shock just for the weather alone.
Yes, it was.
I would have cried and said, no, let's do it over.
Actually, not too many people know this story. Jim Finks was a GM at the time, and they were discussing about drafting me, and I told him, is there a way they can find another guy? not too many people know this story. If Jim Finks is still alive, he would vouch for the story. And I didn't say it publicly, but it was between he and I. And he wasn't very happy about that, and he let me know that. But, you know, think about it. I was a kid that graduated high school in Hawaii, went to school at Arizona State, and then I'm coming up here.
That's what I said, weather-wise.
That was a big change. So, but here I am, 40-plus years later, I'm still in the area.
What was Jim Finks like? Because he really built, you know, the Super Bowl team and all of that. I mean, he had all that going. Was he a good guy?
Jim Finks, I know Bill Tobin's got a lot of credit and stuff, but Jim Finks really built the foundation.
That's what I thought.
Bears because Bill was working with him as an assist, you know, his right-hand man at that time. But Jim Finks was the guy that was making, he made most of the concrete decisions as far as getting the nucleus of the Bears. Then Tobin took over like 84-ish, I think.
Yeah.
And then, you know, brought some guys in there. But Jim Finks was really the foundation for the
Super Bowl Bears,
in my opinion.
Same.
He was a very, very smart man. He picked great staff, you know, guys that worked for him. Jim Finks always had this saying, owners own, managers manage, coaches coach, and players play. Don't get in the other one's arena.
Sure.
And it was a
Good that is really good.
I like Finks a lot.
You mentioned your son's playing college ball. Where's he at?
Well, he's playing at Illinois State. He played four years at Illinois State. He's going to graduate this year, this spring from Illinois State. But he's looking. He has one more year of football eligibility, so he's looking for another place to play. He's kind of, you know, had his fill of Illinois State as far as football.
Yeah.
So he kind of wants to see if there's another opportunity out there to play at another university.
The head coach is from Rockford.
Brocksback is from Rockford.
So we played there for a while.
What position?
But, you know, defensive end linebacker.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to see, that'd be my luck. I'd be coaching and player's dad is a great football player from the NFL.
He just had 4 years there. And, you know, after a while, you kind of want to change.
Al, how has the game changed since you played? I mean, what do you see different? Is it pretty much the same?
Well, obviously, it's different schematically. I mean, the passing game, the liberality of the passing game, you can't hit the quarterback. You might as well put flags on him. you think I'm biased because I'm a defensive player, but
you're right.
You can't hit him high, you can't hit him low. Pretty soon they're going to say you can't hit him in the waist. So, I mean, it's like put flags on these dudes and it'll eliminate the thing. But I know they won't do that. But in all truth, no, I just think, you know, as far as pure speed is concerned, we had guys that can run with these guys. Willie Gault, Cliff Branch, Bo Jackson. We had a lot of guys that can run just as fast as these guys. The difference is the big guys. we didn't have guys that were like Hicks, Akeem Hicks, who was, what, 6'7", 330 pounds, that could move and run like that. We didn't have, there were guys that did not do that sort of thing. Sure. So it's the big guys that are faster, you know, linebackers that are 250, 260 pounds running 4'4", 4'3". Some kid from Texas, some lineman ran, what, a 4'3" this
year?
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
So it's the big guys. It's the big guys that are faster, more mobile. I think that's the biggest change from us back in the day.
Who's the toughest guy you had to go up against in your days?
Oh, my gosh. There were a lot of great ones. Usually I went against the tackles. So I went against Jackie Slater, Anthony Munoz, you know, guys like that. A lot of great guys. I don't know if I could say any particular guy was great. I mean, every week you had to come, you better come ready. You can get your head handed to you.
Sure.
So,
who's the dirtiest player you ever played against? Or one guy, was there a guy that you just didn't like?
There were some dirty players out there. I might keep that to myself.
I thought I could break a story.
There was a couple guys that didn't play according to the rules. But, I mean,
was there a lot of talking when you were out there? A lot of trash?
Yeah, usually the DBs and receivers, they talk the most junk.
Yeah.
Because they're the smallest guy. You know, it's like big dogs and little dogs. You know, little dogs bark the most. Big dogs don't have to bark. They know who they are. The little dogs, they try to, you know, they get try to get all the attention, so they do a lot of barking. And the receivers and DBs, they're kind of like that. So,
well, here we're in the state line, and I hate to admit this out loud. I probably stop talking to me now. I'm a Wisconsin man. I grew up as a Packer fan. Mm-hmm. Talk a little about that rivalry in those years. And
I'm sorry, I mean, y'all. I know the fans
hate each other, and get mad, but I wonder how much was actually on the field.
You know what? I enjoyed playing in Green Bay. I loved it, you know, because it was like, it kind of reminded me of the old days, you know, with the Christians and the Lions, you know, the Romans fed the Christians to the Lions. It was like we felt like we're going to the Lions or we're going into Lambeau Field. But what was really neat was, you know, it was really tight in there. And back in the day, our locker room used to be in the parking lot. It was some building that was in the middle of the parking lot they built. And sometimes we would come in there and there'd be some manure waiting for us, which figures. We're in Wisconsin.
Yeah, come on.
So there's some free. There's a lot of free manure out there. So someone can put some manure in our locker.
I feel your pain.
You know, we come in to be stinking.
Studio right now.
So, you know, little gags like that they would do, and then we would walk down this hill going into the stadium. There were fences on both sides, and Packer fans are screaming at us and stuff, and they would say some things. But I never felt threatened by them. I thought a lot of stuff they said was funny.
Yeah.
You know, and we talked trash back to them during the game.
Sure, sure.
You know. Because they would be right on our back, you know, because the stadium is right on top of the field. So we had a lot of fun with it. I had fun because we beat them most of the time. But
right, back in those days.
You know, back in those days, we kind of had our way with them. I mean, they beat us a couple of times. But they always, you know what, even in our glory years, they always played us really tight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Matter of fact, there were a couple games they could have won if they weren't playing well. But they weren't playing so dirty. They were.
You're talking to Forrest Gregg era, right?
Yes.
Yes, that was dirty era.
That was coached. That was coached.
Yeah.
I will say that. That was coached. That wasn't play. Because when Bart Starr was there, they weren't like that.
Right.
When Forrest Gregg was like there, they were. And then when he left, they weren't. So
Common denominator and all that.
Okay, so I'll just leave it at that. I mentioned one person's name. So.
Yeah. How about some interesting stories?
I don't think that's a secret.
Some interesting stories, funny stories from your playing days. Locker room stories or something happened on the field or anything like that?
Gosh, I can't think of stuff right offhand. I mean, we had just a lot of fun stuff. I mean, yeah, big grown men acting like little boys at times. I can't think of anything right off the top of my head, to be honest with you. I don't know why. I know there's a bunch of them, but I can't think of any right offhand. But anyway.
Yeah, it's very cool. Al, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
More importantly, thanks for being out here helping all these kids. And you know what? You're an inspiration. And, you know, it's a thrill to – I've watched you play for – a lot of years, and it was so much fun.
Well, thank you. I'm telling you what, the Chicago fans are awesome. You don't realize how good Chicago fans are till you leave.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Philadelphia a couple years. Don't get me wrong. Philadelphia has some really enthusiastic fans. But the support base, Chicago treats their athletes like Los Angeles treats actors.
Yeah.
And to be a successful athlete in Chicago, I tell the guys, you haven't made, because the community loves the Bears. And
sure.
Yeah,
it's their team. You know, they don't have to share, like baseball has to share the Sox and the Cubs, you know. But, and the Bulls are there by themselves, but the Bulls haven't been around nearly as long as the Bears. The Bears have been pretty much ingrained in the Chicago psyche for such a long time. So I was part of a very successful group of guys, and it was just really a great experience.
I want to ask one quick question. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this. You played on such a great defense in your day, and, of course, right now the Chicago Bears have a great defense.
Yes.
A lot of people like to compare today's defense to that one or those ones in the mid and early 80s. How do you look at those comparisons?
You know, I was watching them, and they reminded me of the 84 Bears this past year.
Okay.
Because they were learning to win, mm-hmm. you know. And every single game they could have won.
Every single game.
Right, yeah.
They were in – even in our glory years, there were some games we got handed to us. You know, even though we won most of the time, you know, there were a couple games we just got – you know, San Francisco, I remember one year we were 13-3, and they obliterated us up in San Fran like 41-7.
Sure.
This team was in every single game. They could have won every game that they played, and that really encouraged me. They're a lot – Nagy, I love watching him. He's like a mad scientist. You know, everybody's white waiting for the goal line plays because he's always going to call something unusual and unique. I think this team, talent-wise, defensively, is very, very good. You know, I don't want to go and say they're the 85 Bears yet, but they have some monsters on that team. Yeah. You know, Hicks and
Mac.
I forgot Mac. I mean, those guys.
Yep.
You got to account for them. Yeah, and so now some of their other younger players are coming in, and I just think they just need to add a little. I'd like to see a running back that can run inside and outside for them. You know, they got a running back that runs inside, and they have a running back that runs outside. I'd like to see. I think that would really enhance their offense if they had a running back that can run inside and outside.
Sure.
Do you ever have to buy a meal in Chicago wearing that shirt? Because if you don't, I'd like to borrow it.
Well, that's why
I'm going in next week.
I wore it so I can get a free meal today.
You got to. So I'm going to be borrowing it here. I'll give you my number. I'm going to be calling.
You're getting right.
Yeah.
Swimming in that shirt.
I was a big man. Well, there's muscles in that shirt.
Yeah.
With me, they'd be crying. What happened? Al, thank you for joining us.
Right, thank you so much for what you're doing here.
We really appreciate it. Thanks for coming to Rockford and Love Spark.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Al Harris, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back with more after this on Sports Fan Radio.